Father in heaven, thank you so much that you are the God of all flesh and that nothing is too hard for you. You have promised that you'll give us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And so we pray that you would come and be our teacher today, enlighten our minds, help our spirits to catch a vision of what you want to do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. The topic that we're discussing is the relationship between nutrition and mental function. How many of you think that there might be a link between dietary choices and how well you think? If you think that there might be a link, raise your hand. How many of you think there might be a link between nutrition and lifestyle and stress sensitivity? Irritability? How about memory and mood and behavior? I've maintained this for a long time that the real battle is not for the bulge. It's for the brain. That's where addictions occur. That's where we form our habits. That's where we get in those foul moods that drive us to the vending machine. And we need to break that vicious cycle. Amen? And before we begin our discussion today on what the literature is revealing, what science is revealing that is in harmony with the Word of God, I want to share with you for a moment one of my favorite Bible stories that I think will encourage us all. And it's found in John chapter 5. And it's a story that we all know very well. It's the story of the man at the pool of Bethesda. How long had that crippled man been laying at that pool? For 38 years, there was a man laying by a pool, waiting for something to happen. And he was paralyzed from the neck down. From the neck down, he had absolutely no function. Waiting for something to happen, he was discouraged, he was depressed, he was impotent in every sense of the word, he was no good to himself or to anybody else, and the worst of it was that he had brought himself into that miserable condition. Now, the story goes that Jesus came by that pool, and there were many folk there, but this man is brought front row and center for our attention, and for us to think about. And the Bible says in John chapter 5 that Jesus came by that man. And it says in John 5 verse 6, it says, when Jesus saw him, does he see you and me today? He sees us. He knows our circumstance. He knows our situation. He knows the fix that we've gotten ourselves into many times. Now today, we are not talking about things that we cannot do anything about. When we talk about illness and lifestyle disease and prevention today, we are not talking about things that we can do, that we have no power over. Is it possible to make right choices and still get sick and still have problems? Is it possible? We live in a sinful world, don't we? And so it is a terrible thing for us as health educators to get ourselves on a judgment seat and judge people according to how righteous they are as according to how well they are. Is that a fair thing to do? It is absolutely a mindset that God forbids. Now, knowing that bad things happen to innocent people and wrong things happen that we don't deserve because we're in a sinful world, would you agree with me that many times we make choices that bring unnecessary suffering upon ourselves, mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually? Do we make those kinds of choices? That's what we're talking about in this session today. We're not talking about things that are beyond our control that we need to leave in the hands of God. We're talking about resources and tools that God has given us to empower us in our lives. And the Bible says here in John chapter 6 that Jesus saw him and knew that he had been there how long? A long time. And many of us have been broken and in habits that we've suffered from for a long, long time. How many of us have been born into perfect homes with perfect parents, had a perfect environment, and have been perfectly protected all of our lives from evil? No. We've been a long time suffering, many of us. Many of us are suffering in the throes of brokenness. But the Bible says in Luke chapter 4 that Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captives free, to bring deliverance to the captives, and to heal the blind. Victims of self, victims of circumstances, victims of genetics, he has come to help set us free. Amen? And so he asked this man an interesting question. What was the question that Jesus asked this man when he saw him? He said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Do you want to be made whole? Now that seems almost preposterous, doesn't it? And yet it's the very most important question. And just to share a little bit with you about my background, I'm the health and temperance director now, but I was not born into this mindset. This mindset is born from above. It's not in the flesh for us to love to do God's will and to desire to be healthy and to follow Him. As a matter of fact, I was born into an extremely abusive home, and I was physically beaten from the time I can remember and started running away from home when I was 5. By the time I was 11, I was also, my family are wine people. We're in the wine business. We were in the wine business. And and so I had no clue about anything. When I first heard the name Seventh-day Adventist, I thought it was some kind of roofing and air conditioning. Open 7 days a week. Something to do with vents. No clue. So I started running away from home. By the age of 11, I was into very, very, very serious trouble. I was doing all the things that runaways do. I was into a horrible situation, and I developed very severe bulimia. And people really do have their crazy reasons for developing bad habits and addictions, don't they? Just trying to get some kind of control in their life. Trying to be perfect. Trying to get everything just exactly the way that it should be. And we develop these awful syndromes, and the devil is out there to really take advantage of people who've come from traumatic backgrounds. And so after many years of this, I was bulimic, severely bulimic from age 11 to age 31. Sometimes I would throw up to a dozen times a day. I'd be spitting up blood. I was about 10, 15 pounds thinner than I am right now, but I thought I was fat. And it's a bulimic mindset. And God has to heal all of that, doesn't He? But He's a great God. And where sin abounds, what abounds even more? Grace and power for victorious living. But He also has to change the way we think. And He did. He healed me when I was 31 years old, when I met Jesus for the first time. I was a real angry woman, a woman's liver. When I married my husband, I told him that if he threw his socks on the floor, I'd nail them to the carpet, because I was not put in this world to serve anyone. And so now I'm truly a liberated woman, and I realize that the highest place is at the feet of Jesus. But it did take me a little while to get to that understanding. I have a very patient husband. But the Lord did heal me of this horrible syndrome, and I prayed this mean little angry prayer when I gave my heart to God, because I really didn't know Jesus very well, but I did know the devil real well. And I was mad. I was mad at what had happened to me all my life. And so I prayed this prayer. I said, "God, this is so awful. I never knew anything about You or Your power or anything, but I just want to spend the rest of my life paying the devil back for what he did to me." And now I'm the health and temperance director in Michigan, developing all these materials. I praise God for what He's done. Now, the reason that I bring you this story right at this juncture is because one morning I had a young lady come to my office whose mother brought her there. She suffered from very serious bulimia. By the way, the book that we're going to have next year for you is on addictions, food addictions, prescription, drug addiction, alcohol, tobacco, behavioral addictions like gambling and porn. We're going to have a new book for you called Living Free, Finding Freedom from Habits That Hurt. And so be watching for that next year. But this little girl came to my office. She's a beautiful young lady, and her mother was frantic. They were not Christians. She knew that her daughter had this syndrome of bulimia, and by word of mouth, she found out that maybe I might be able to talk to this girl. My heart really went out to this young lady. Her mother made her use the restroom with the door open, would not let her shut the door because she did not want her to go through with this throwing up behavior. And it does become a compulsion, just like anything else. And so this girl had taken to throwing up into Ziploc bags and hiding them in her room. And her room smelled like a morgue. Now, does sin make sense? Are addictions logical? Are compulsions realistic? Do they help? Do they solve anything? No. But that's where this girl was. So I talked to her. I just shared from my heart. I pulled out my whiteboard and I told her my story, and I drew pictures of the brain, and at times her hard little eyes would soften, and then they would harden right back up again, and then they'd soften, and then they'd harden right back up again. And finally, I was getting tired. I told her everything I knew, and nothing was happening. So I stopped, and I looked at her, and I said, do you want to stop doing this? It's the first question I should have asked her. And she looked at me, and she got this sort of sinister smile on her face, and she said, part of me does, and part of me doesn't. Now, that was the end of our appointment. Hopefully not the end of her story. The Lord is not through with that young lady. But this, when Jesus asked that man this question, he asked all of us that question, because there are things that we know we should be doing that we're not. And he's asking us today, do you want to be made whole? This is not about aptitude. It's about attitude, isn't it? The very first thing that God has to have is our attitude. It's the most important resource that the Lord can use, that we can give him. We give him our bad attitude. We have to surrender our own will and our own way if we're going to have any change. Well, this man did want to be made whole. And it's really interesting because the Lord healed him. And then, if this had happened in our midst, if we had had a healing like this in our midst, I'm a very conservative Christian, but I think I may have just jumped up and, this is fantastic. Wouldn't you just want to shout if you saw something, this kind of a healing? I mean, we'd have a potluck, we'd have a testimonial, we would have an all-day feast, wouldn't we, if we saw this kind of a healing in our midst? But what did Jesus do? He just crashed this party. He came to the man later, in verse 14, and what did he say to him? He said, behold, you're made whole. Go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. I remember one day my dear husband and I were going on a trip. We were driving in the car. We were hired as a team and we're together just almost constantly and just love it. And so he was driving to our destination and I was reading the Bible for our evening worship. And we were reading this story and it just struck me. And I looked at my husband and I said, Dane, what could be worse than being paralyzed from the neck down with no one to help you? What can be worse than that? And my husband didn't miss a beat. He said, being paralyzed from the neck up and not wanting help. That's what's worse. That's worse. And I really think that that's the message of that story, don't you? The question is today, are you, am I, paralyzing ourselves from the neck up? Now, that can be in a spiritual sense, but today we're going to look at the physical ways in which we are becoming paralyzed from the neck up. And so, may I use these a little bit later? May I put these right here? Thank you. This is about memory, but I forgot my glasses, so we do our best and keep eating those vegetables. Let's put the light down so that we can see a little better, if we could. May we do that? Is there somebody there that has control of the light switch? If you fall asleep, you're going to be spoken to. Don't fall asleep. I know it's after lunch. This is something we want to focus on today. Today we're looking at foods for thought. We're looking at nutrition's link with memory, learning, behavior, and mood. Now, we need to analyze this topic thoroughly, and the nutrition reviews and scientific journals are doing this. The real battle, as I said, is not for the bulge. While we're putting on that weight, and while those arteries are becoming clogged, and while that pancreas is becoming dysfunctional, while that blood pressure is going up, there are very subtle changes that are also taking place in an equally sensitive organ, and it is called the brain. And from nutrition reviews, can what you eat influence mental function? The answer is certainly what? Affirmative. Absolutely. Now, if my dear husband consented to pose for this picture, he was the only one. We ingest each day any number of compounds that we know alter mental function. Now, there are a lot of fad books out there that tell you if you want to be sharp for a test, have a tuna sandwich, an egg. If you want to be happy, eat banana. We are not talking about short-term mood regulation by manipulating food choices. We're talking about long-term brain health. I think that we should be in a pleasant attitude and to be able to think after every meal. How about that? Amen. Now, it says here in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, over the past 40 years, several lines of investigation, that means countrywide studies, they're called epidemiological studies, it means laboratory studies, genetic studies, have shown that the chemistry and function of both the developing and mature brain are influenced by diet. Now, not only is the chemistry and function affected, but also the structure of the brain is affected by what we eat. There are some amazing facts that we are going to be talking about as we go along today. Now, this statement is by Elizabeth Summer. She's a researcher in the area of food. She wrote a book called Food and Mood, and here's what she has to say. Repeated poor food choices. What kind of food choices? Repeated poor food choices. We are not always going to be able to eat the perfect mix of food at every meal, correct? We don't want to get so tunnel vision over this that we just flip out in the wrong direction. We want to talk today about consistency, consistent wise choices. Here's what I want for you, and here's what I want for me. I want to crave those good things. How about it? I want to desire those good. I mean, think about the names of some of these foods. Ding dongs. Okay? Bonkers. Suckers. Something is happening to our mental processes as we embark. And I'm not saying that we should never have anything sweet. I do not feel that way at all. The problem is we're having birthday parties for breakfast, Christmas for lunch, Thanksgiving for dinner, and 4th of July before we go to bed. And there are some fireworks going on. Not very pleasant. But repeated poor food choices can set fundamental patterns. That means the brain chemistry is permanently altered by the food choices that we make. And we will discuss this further. In the production of brain chemicals that regulate appetite and mood. How many of you feel that it is possible to be addicted to certain foods? Is it possible? Have you ever heard of a junk food junkie? A chocaholic, yeah. All the women chime in on that one. So that you become a victim of mood swings, food cravings, poor sleep habits, and other emotional problems because of poor eating habits. It is very real. People who are not even prone to addiction. Now, is it possible to be genetically prone to addiction? Absolutely. But can you have environmental triggers that can set you up for addiction even if you're not genetically prone? And can the Lord help you whether you're genetically prone or not? Because environmental choices influence gene expression. This is a very important point to remember. Now, even according to recommended definitions for the diagnostic criterion for diabetes, high blood pressure, elevated cholesterol, and overweight, 75% of adults in America would be considered diseased. Now, if these syndromes are associated with cognitive impairment, then are we in trouble as a nation? What do I mean by cognitive impairment? What does that mean? It means the way you think and reason, whether you can plan and execute, how well you analyze, how well you can focus your attention and execute decision making. And we will talk some more about dementia. I read a really interesting analysis. A German study came out recently that actually, in terms of dementia, only 3% of dementias are actually completely genetically determined. And what that is saying is that environmental factors play a very dramatic part in the development of dementia. Now, does that mean that if you have a great lifestyle that you will not get dementia? No, of course it does not mean that. But we're talking here about risk. We want to talk about risk and causality. Now, even according to current standards, 1/2 of all adults in the United States suffer from at least one chronic disease. 1 in 5 suffer 2 or more, afflicting 60 million people. 2/3 of adults are overweight or obese, causing 300,000 deaths a year directly due to overweight. And there are 1 billion overweight people worldwide. Now, lifestyle diseases are the cause of 7 out of 10 adult deaths at an annual cost of more than $1 trillion. And children are at risk. Nearly half of our U.S. children as young as age 5 have at least one heart disease risk factor. Now, obesity in children, overweight in children, even when it's transient, does cause subtle changes in the development of the heart and puts them at twice the risk for heart disease and diabetes when they get older, even if they shed those extra pounds. Overweight has tripled in children aged 6 to 11, and children who are overweight are 20 to 30% heavier than the overweight children of just 10 years ago. It's very startling. Overweight children have twice the risk of heart disease and high blood pressure. Only 1% meet guidelines for dietary fiber, and there are actual mental health benefits to consuming a higher fiber diet. In African American children, there's been a tenfold increase in type 2 adult onset lifestyle-related diabetes in children in just the last 5 years. Now, there's a really interesting researcher by the name of Dr. Merrill Elias. He's an epidemiologist and a statistician. He tested 1,800 elderly adults on eight different tests of learning and memory. And he found those that tended to perform poorly on cognitive tests suffered from these risk factors. They had diabetes or high blood pressure or were obese, or they smoked. Now, I must interject this here. When Jesus came to that man who was by the pool of Bethesda, and he saw that he'd been there for a long time, and he said, "Do you want to be made whole?" Was he just playing games with this man, or was he willing to do something? Now, when we sit at these kinds of meetings, and we are stunned by this kind of information, and really relatively alarmed and even frightened because maybe we have some of these problems and we're in the throes of some of these things, do you think that the Lord would bring you to a meeting like this just to cause you to despair and feel bad? Or do you think he's fixing to do something? The Lord never does that. He would never just cause us to bring, he would never bring us into knowledge for no reason. He brings us into knowledge because there's hope. And the brain is highly tunable, highly plastic. That's a word we're going to use throughout this session today. When I say that the brain is plastic, it means it's very malleable, very changeable. New neurons are churned out in the adult brain when stress levels are low, when the lifestyle is right. And so we have a lot going for us in terms of recovery, rejuvenation, and renewal. Now, Dr. Elias found that those who had one risk factor, who had one of those syndromes, had a 23% decline in their ability to perform on eight different tasks of learning and memory. With each added risk factor, there was an additional 23% decline. And Dr. Merrill, in a phone conversation with me, said this: the more risk factors a person has, the greater the risk of developing memory and learning impairments. When I spoke with Dr. Elias, he had just returned from a trip to England. And he said the rage in England at that time, you've heard of the fish and chips that these folks eat, that their chips are not like our French fries. They're these deep-fried big potato wedges that they get with fish and mushy peas. And the big rage at that time was sprinkling these potatoes wedges with sugar, dipping them in chocolate, and freezing them. And I sent him the manuscript for the book that we have written that I'm going to show you that is on this topic called Foods for Thought. And he said, "Vicki," he said, "you have such high ideals for your constituents." He said, "If I can just get people to stop eating these French fries, I'd be so happy." But this is the book where you're going to get all of this information and more. It's called Foods for Thought. And I'll show it to you a little bit later. Now, we think of the pain in the feet, the needle-like pain of diabetic neuropathy. We think of the extra baggage around the waist, the clogged arteries. But what is happening in the brain as we develop lifestyle diseases? Well, elevated LDL cholesterol is linked with a fourfold increased risk for dementia. Now, when we think of the word dementia, what do we think of? What do we think of when we think of dementia? We think of Alzheimer's disease, but what's the first symptom we think of when we think of dementia? We think of memory loss, but did you know that memory loss, is it raining? Is that what that is? Oh. When we think of memory loss or dementia, we think of memory loss, but that is actually what begins to occur at the later stages in the formation of dementia. The most widespread dementia in the United States is Alzheimer's disease, followed by another type of dementia called vascular dementia or multi-infarct dementia. And I had an opportunity to listen to some experts in the area of dementia, and I was very amazed at what a long process the development of dementia and cognitive decline is. And as I talk to you about mild cognitive impairment, that is the precursor or the first baby steps toward dementia. Now, when you have mild cognitive impairment as a result of the developing process of dementia, here is what is happening, especially with vascular dementia. Vascular dementia or multi-infarct dementia, if we were to, do you see this circle that I'm making on the board here? If the central part here by the base of the brain, that is called the limbic system. Your sensory information goes up through the limbic system of the brain, and it is transmitted to various parts of the brain. In other words, you don't have a spot in your brain called grandmother. There isn't one little spot for grandmother that gets turned on. When I say the word grandmother, if you're in a good mood, you may immediately think of sitting in her lap and sitting by a breeze with her lilac perfume and her reading these stories. This information is being assayed from all over the brain, association, perception, orientation, place, all of these areas. It's like a super highway of information gathering. If you're in a bad mood, you may think of the time she made you drink cod liver oil and made you sit in the corner, whatever it is that she, and these memories will relay from different parts of the brain. Well, when people begin to develop a lesion, and when they begin to develop blood vessel blockage in this limbic area of the brain, the sensory information does not percolate to the other areas of the brain to draw on the concept of grandmother. And so what happens is, even though there may be no damage in the actual memory centers of the brain, which are in the hippocampal area, the frontal lobe, there may be no damage at all. But because of these lesions right here, the information isn't going anywhere, the sensory information. So what begins to happen in the very early stages is what is called mild cognitive impairment. You begin to have subtle shifts in personality. The person who is beginning to suffer from this, they know what they need to be doing. They'll make a list, but they rarely follow through with that list. This is why working with people that have advanced lifestyle diseases can be rather difficult, because you can talk to them about needing to walk and needing to do this or that or change their diet, whatever, and they'll write it down, but they never seem to be able to follow through. This is where a good support system and the loved ones who understand this process can begin to help them. The good news is that as you begin to exercise the changes that we are going to be talking about today, there is a remodeling that takes place of the blood vessels down in this area of the brain, and much of what has been lost can be recovered if it isn't too advanced. And that is good news, isn't it? The brain is highly plastic, as I said before, and synapses begin to form in as little as 3 hours. Synapses are the gaps between nerves where information, important information exchange takes place at the cellular level. And so that is good news indeed. But elevated LDL cholesterol is linked with a quadruple increased risk for dementia. And by the way, even Alzheimer's disease has some very strong environmental triggers. As a matter of fact, the book that I was just showing you, Dr. Helen Kim wrote the foreword to the book. She is a protein scientist from the University of Birmingham, Alabama. She runs a pharmacology and toxicology lab there, and she for years has been studying animal versus soy protein and the effects on brain function. And at a soy symposium that I attended one year, when I met her and asked her to be involved with this project, she told me, she said, "Vicki, the type of protein that we eat causes structural changes in the brain. She said animal protein tends to turn Alzheimer gene switches on, and soy protein tends to turn them off. Your genes respond, many of your genes, not all of them, like the color of your hair, things like that, but if you have a genetic tendency for heart disease or diabetes or many different things, these genes respond to environmental choices. Can you beat genetic tendencies many times? If you eat right and exercise, can you beat the tendency to heart disease? Absolutely. Now, some people don't. There are certain genetic strains or genetic types of heart disease where they're going to have a heart attack. They have to be on very powerful medications. That's very rare. There are strong environmental factors that actually trigger the genes. Genes don't make a person gay or fat or happy or a leader. Genes make proteins. And proteins tend to bend our tendencies. But environmental choices are stronger than those genetic tendencies. Didn't Jesus say that? Didn't he say that we could overcome these tendencies? We can have tendencies to temper or alcoholism or all these things, but in the name and strength of Jesus, can we not overcome? Otherwise, where would we be? Those with elevated total cholesterol are linked to a triple increased risk for dementia. Oh, this was an amazing study of 7,000 older diabetic women, and it was found that they had a 74% increased risk of cognitive impairment as a result of their disorder. And it has to do with elevated insulin levels in the brain and poor glucose control. Chronic high blood pressure is linked to a 2- to 3-fold increase in the dementia-linked lesions. And by those lesions, what I'm talking about there, what this is talking about, are those little clusters of dead cells because of neural and blood vessel degeneration at this limbic area of the brain. But there is remodeling that can occur. That is good news. Just walking every day tends to restore brain plasticity, increase executive function, and restore all of the superhighways in the brain. That's a great thing. Did you know that just a 10-minute walk can increase your mood for an hour? I mean, isn't that something you can take to the bank? Ding-dongs don't do that. They don't do that. They make you grouchy and fatigued. Now, metabolic syndrome is like grapes. You know, trouble comes in clusters. Grapes come in clusters, and so does trouble. Metabolic syndrome is a clustering of metabolic disorders that tend to come together. And it includes overweight, high blood pressure, elevated insulin, elevated triglycerides, and high cholesterol. The good news is that as you begin to make the changes that we're going to be talking about today, what begins to happen to insulin sensitivity? It begins to increase. What begins to happen to triglycerides? They go down. What happens to cholesterol? It begins to balance out. It's a wonderful program. You work on the plan of addition. God works on the plan of multiplication. That's the way it is. You don't have to focus on these individual syndromes so much as the broader principles. Now, what are the mental health effects of metabolic syndrome? I really believe we need to understand this, because what we have not recognized as health educators is we give people this big fact sheet of why they are in the trouble they're in, but we're not dealing with the underlying depression, fatigue, cognitive just fogginess that people deal with that drives them to the vending machine to get a fix. That's the syndrome that has to be broken. Metabolic syndrome, those who suffer from it suffer higher levels of depression, slower thinking, lower levels of alertness and concentration, lower energy levels, and increased memory loss. This is an amazing man. His name is Dr. Antonio Convit, and I really wanted to talk to this man. I read some of his studies, and this is actually the result of a phone conversation that I had with him before I ever did this. Many years ago, I used to repossess cars and skip trace on bad checks. And I tend to have a little bit of a knack for tracking people down. And I really wanted to talk to this man. These scientists are very hard to find. They're in their laboratories, you know, doing things with rats, and they're just not generally very easy people to get a hold of. But I decided one day I would really like to talk to this man. Same with Merrill Elias. Both of them. I tracked down where they were, got their phone number, and one day after lunch, I just on a lark, I thought, I'd like to talk to him because he's done some amazing research, which I'll tell you about in a moment. And I dialed the number, and lo and behold, the man answered the phone. I was speechless. So I began to talk to him about his work and how thankful I was for the excellent research that he's doing. And we talked for at length about the mental health effects of some of these syndromes, such as diabetes and overweight, and what the effects are in the brain. And here's what he told me. He said, we have studied the effect of insulin resistance on the pancreas, the retina, and other organs. But what about the brain? No one thinks about the brain. And he added, for every Alzheimer's patient, there are 8 older people who suffer enough memory loss to significantly harm their quality of life. And they don't even have a dementia-causing disease. It's diet-related. Now, Dr. Convett has done research with these concentrated fast foods, and I wish we had a whole other seminar that we could do on food addictions, where we cover this. If you've seen these soda pops that are at the, you can get them at the fast food place, these 64-ounce sodas that you can get, these big sodas, people drink these. I worked with a lady that drank 10 Mountain Dews a day, 10. But it's not uncommon for people to go and slug down one of these huge sodas with their burger and fries or with a candy bar. Well, one of those 64-ounce sodas has 135 grams of fructose. Now, when we talk about that amount of fructose, we're talking about what's called a psychopharmacologic dose. When I say psychopharmacologic, what does that mean? What is pharmacology? What is pharmacology? Drugs. What is psycho? It's a mind-altering dose of a macronutrient that has drug-like effects on the brain. Just to give you a comparison, an apple has 9 grams of fructose, a banana, 7, and a peach, 4. Now, if I were to stand up before you and eat 40 peaches, you'd call me a pig. Dr. Convett studied the effects of what happens with long-term appetite regulatory mechanisms and these substances. We have short and long-term appetite control. On the short term, we have stretch receptors and different neuropeptides like neuropeptide Y and different short-term regulators that send signals to the brain, I've had enough, stretch receptors. But some of us here, including myself, have experienced eating till your stomach hurts. It's so full, but you're still hungry. You don't have to raise your hand, but you nod your head, yes, you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. What has happened when that takes place? Well, there are long-term regulatory mechanisms, 3 in particular, leptin, insulin, and ghrelin. And what Dr. Convett is pioneering is research showing that when we take these pharmacologic doses of these concentrated macronutrients, that it actually disables the body's ability to sense the I am satisfied signal and turn off hunger. So we can consume massive amounts of calories, and there's no signaling going on to turn it off. And so we become food addicts. And not only that, these particular foods also stimulate the addictive pathways in the brain, producing tolerance and withdrawal, the same as drugs. We don't have time to talk too much about that. The good news is that when you begin to introduce natural foods, fiber, and those kinds of things into the diet, which we will talk about today, guess what begins to happen? The sensitivity of those receptors, of those hormones, begins to be restored. Isn't that good news? Otherwise, let's just go to Dunkin' Donuts right now. But the good news is that food cravings can be overcome. That's where the battle is. It's in the brain. And Dr. Convett says that's a great motivator to stay off the calories and off the couch. Eating a high-fiber diet has tremendous benefit in terms of restoring those regulatory hormones to their optimum efficiency. Now, let's talk a little bit about concentration trouble. Diets that are too high in saturated, hardened animal fats like butter and marbled meats and cheeses, the hard cheeses, and in your trans fats. How many have ever heard of a partially hydrogenated fat? These are hardened vegetable fats that are in an unnatural shape, actually take 2 years to leave the fat depots of the body. They're very, very hard on certain enzyme systems in the body and are responsible for a plethora of inflammatory problems. You know, diabetes and heart disease have been called nutritional diseases of childhood. These diseases don't occur overnight. They take place over time, and we see the behavioral results of these choices long before we see laboratory results indicating that there is a lifestyle disease in progression. They're inflammatory disorders. Trans fats are tremendous contributors. Where do we find them? French fries, 25% trans fats. Donuts, a horrible source of trans fats. The margarines. You can get margarines now that have no hydrogenated fat. Have you seen them? And that's a nice alternative. You can buy chips that do not have trans fats. Diets that are too high in refined, concentrated sugars, white flours, animal products, and dehydrating, stimulating drinks. They tend to be very low in things like whole grains and fiber. We need to get more of the whole grains. Whole grains have a plethora of vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, phytochemicals that not only fight physical disease, but also improve mental function and mental health, because the compounds that are in these foods are what make up what are called ligands that your cells need. Ligands such as dopamine, serotonin, whole enzyme systems and energy systems that require vitamins and minerals and all of these things are found in these beautiful foods. So we need more fiber, more of the monounsaturated fats. Monounsaturated fats and the omega-3 fats. Monounsaturated fats we find in our olives and olive oil, especially the extra virgin olive oil, has 30 different flavonoids. And it's rich in a flavonoid called hydroxytyrosol, which softens arterial walls. And the aging brain in particular needs more monounsaturated fat. It makes the cell membranes more flexible and pliable. And we will talk about the actual composition of the cell membranes in a few minutes and how your diet can influence how rigid those membranes are and how well they respond. So we need more of the monounsaturated fats. Nuts are about 65% monounsaturated fat. They're excellent nuts. The omega-3s, which we find in our flaxseed and walnuts and whole soy, canola oil, soy oil, all sources of omega-3s. Greens have trace amounts of the omega-3s. So we need to enjoy these sources of fat. So that's just as simple as switching from butter to a non-hydrogenated fat. It's as simple as instead of putting fat-back gravy on your greens, now you're going to drizzle a little olive oil. Now, we always want to make sure that energy input equals energy output, correct? In other words, I'll have people come to me that are skin and bones and say, how many almonds a day should I eat? Six? I've heard six. And then I'll have someone that can't see their feet that doesn't ask me, and I wish they would. We have to look at our activity levels, age, and even climate is an important factor. And so we want to make sure that we get the right amount of these fats. But FAT is not spelled BAD. And that's a good thing. We had a gorgeous lunch today. I tell you, I didn't want to eat heavily because I know that we're going to be having a little supper this evening. So my dear husband called the restaurant and he said, can you just make us something gorgeous? Can you make us this gorgeous, colorful salad with field greens and lots of veggies in it? And some? Do you have any nuts you can put on it? Can you put some nuts on it? And can you send us some olive oil and lemon? And oh, did we have a great, great lunch, some whole grain bread. It was really a nice lunch. So, you know, the memory is working pretty well right now. We need to get more of those vitamin-rich, and they're gorgeous, these gorgeous foods which are going to supply fiber. Now, people think of fiber as just indigestible roughage. And to a certain extent, that's true. But roughage and fiber in the diet that we get from the whole grains and the beans and the vegetables and fresh fruits supplies much more than just bulk and just roughage. As a matter of fact, there are more than 400 species of bacteria in the human gut. And I tell my friends, we never need to feel lonely anymore. If you knew how many friends you have in your body, As a matter of fact, one-third of stool weight, fecal weight, is bacteria. And the composition of that bacteria is highly dependent upon the type of food that you eat. When we have diets that are high in refined foods, it changes the bacterial content of the gut, high sugar, high caffeine, high saturated fat, that tends to change the composition of the bacteria and make a person more prone to inflammatory disorders. It kind of sort of down-regulates cellular membranes, enzyme systems that are responsible for the uptake of nutrition. And in addition, when you consume different kinds of fiber, there are different kinds of fiber. Some types of fiber sort of bind minerals, but there are other kinds that actually enhance mineral absorption. So you want to get a good variety. The gum fibers that you find in oatmeal tend to enhance mineral absorption. And also, these fibers are worked on by the bacteria and fermented into what is called short-chain fatty acids. These short-chain fatty acids provide energy for the gut, for cell membranes. And it has everything to do with the inflammatory disorders and even mental health. There are some studies associating a higher fiber regimen with better quality of thinking. That doesn't mean that every vegetarian is nice, does it? We've met some pretty mean vegetarians along the way, haven't we? Matter of fact, I read about a vegetarian woman. She was at a vegetarian, International Vegetarian Congress. She didn't like what the speaker was saying, and she pelted him with a lemon pie. It was a very healthy pie. Now, you can be a vegetarian and be meaner than a snake. You can suffer from depression and eat well. What we're talking about here is influence, and we're talking about pushing the risk. Aren't we talking about improvement? Improvement? I have a very, very dear friend who is bipolar. He's on $1,500 worth of medication every month. He is a dear heart. He actually works with a psychiatrist working with other bipolar patients. But he told me, he said, "Vicki, since I've changed my diet, my mood swings are much more controllable. I've been able to cut down on some of my medication." Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You know, the Lord says He'll put us on a healing path. Where we end up is His business. My business is obedience, right? And He's so happy to have better management of his mood. Is he going to be on medication for the rest of his life? Yes. But has this lifestyle helped him? Absolutely. We need to get more of these vitamin and mineral-rich minerals, vegetables and greens, especially the leafy green vegetables, rich in magnesium. Two-thirds of Americans are very low in magnesium. Magnesium is a major anti-stress mineral that's associated with more than 350 enzyme functions. As a matter of fact, your body makes its weight in energy every day, called ATP, and magnesium and about six vitamins are essential for that function. So when people come to me and they say, "I am so weary, I'm just exhausted, I feel like I'm dragging a ball and chain, and this and that," and their mood, and magnesium deficiency is associated with pain syndromes, muscle aches, headache, I always think to myself, I wonder if they're getting adequate magnesium. And it's just not a matter of intake, because things like coffee and sugar and high fat and too much calcium also deplete, guess what? Magnesium. And when magnesium levels are low, it's harder for the body to utilize the B vitamins. And it's harder for the body to retain calcium. So there's this beautiful dynamic equilibrium when you eat the whole foods. You're going to get them in a better balance. When you eat these gorgeous collards, you're going to get magnesium, boron, calcium, B6, folic acid, all in the right ratio. And it's proportions that are important. We need to get more of the antioxidants that are available. We're going to see some studies on that. More phytochemicals. As I said, 25,000 phytochemicals in the plant kingdom. How many of you have heard of ellagic acid or lycopene? You've heard of lycopene? A physician friend of mine tells men, eat red, eat red, eat red. Not red meat, but eat red. Eat those red peppers and red berries to get that lycopene. Lycopene is what turns the tomatoes brilliant red. It's actually a stress hormone that the plant itself produces, but it has tremendous beneficial effects. There's another one that's just amazing. How many of you like blueberries? Have you ever heard of ellagic acid? My husband calls it elastic acid. I just think that's just great, because that's really what it is. It helps the brain become more elastic, as well as the vessels. As a matter of fact, ellagic acid is found in spinach and strawberries and apples and blueberries. Now, I want to read something that I just happened to get on the way down here, a special issue of Scientific American. And Dr. James Joseph is a neuroscientist who studied the effects of those four food items on rats in the laboratory in 1999. And he found that when he took elderly rats, this is called senescent rats, and fed them these compounds, they had declines in what is called oxidative stress, cell damage, in their brain cells, as well as improved memory and coordination. Now, coordination is really important because one of the risk factors for dementia is gait. How many steps you take in such a distance. People that tend to get very short in their gait are at higher risk for dementia, and that is one of the assessments that is done when someone comes into the office with memory problems. Now here, I'm going to share just a little bit of what Dr. James had to say. Apparently, it's the blend of ingredients inside blueberries, not just isolated antioxidants, that benefited these racy rats. And interestingly enough, the cerebellum, which is influenced by ellagic acid and helps give better coordination, now scientists are beginning to understand that this area of coordination is also responsible for certain forms of learning and memory. And so these learning and memory centers are not just in certain isolated areas of the brain. They are patterns that are throughout the brain. And it says, studying these rats' brains, Joseph was surprised to find relatively few signs of increased antioxidants, but what he did find were a host of cell changes, from better anti-inflammatory activity to more pliable membranes, all of which could act together to combat brain aging. Flavonoids, the compounds inside blueberries that actually help generate new cell growth in brain areas, mediating memory, and they also help to increase neuronal signaling. Quote, if you take supplements, you never get the benefit of fruit and vegetable that it contains hundreds of these compounds. I think that's really exciting, don't you? Is that exciting? Are you all excited about that? Okay. I think it's exciting because I want my brain. How many of you would like to increase your intelligence as time goes on? How many of you would like to learn better and act better? I know your spouse would like all that. Mine does. Okay. So when we are deficient of these great foods and eating all that junk food, it can lead to impaired reasoning, learning, reaction time, alertness, attention, concentration, working memory, such as dialing a phone number. You know, how many times do you have to look at that number? Up and down, each number. Picture recognition, procedural memory. That's one of the first things that starts to go as cognitive impairment develops. Word recall, abstract reasoning, being able to conceptualize. As Seventh-day Adventists, do we need to be able to conceptualize and use abstract reasoning? Are we called to be deep Bible students? We're told that superficial students will be lost. And yet our brain power, we're Taiwan, you know, when we should be Dell. Intellectual performance, short and long-term memory, spatial memory, like negotiating mazes, and logical memory. Now, this is Dr. Baldwin, who is a co-author with me on this book, Foods for Thought. He says this, if the diet is largely junk food with large amounts of highly saturated animal fat, the membranes reflect that diet by being what? Less flexible. I think it's really interesting that one of the leading prescribed drugs in this country for women is the Prozac-type drugs. The selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, these drugs force serotonin to stay longer in the synapses or gaps between the nerve cells. The membranes are tougher, less flexible. Am I saying that there is never a place for an intervention like that? I'm not saying that. God has many ways to help his people, and God forbid that I should make a rule for everybody. However, do you think that the degree of usage of this drug tells us that maybe we're having a problem with our ability, with the flexibility of the brain cells? Do you think that maybe that is a fair estimation? These membranes become less flexible, stiffer, more restrictive to normal enzyme function of those membranes. Now, what are the brain effects of high fat and sugar? What is affected? The structure of the cells becomes less permeable, less flexible, less fluid. Gene expression is affected. Less electric, they're less conductive, and impaired sensitivity. What are the brain effects? We've talked a little bit about this. Blood sugar metabolism is altered. High insulin levels are promoted, which not only promotes weight gain and certain types of cancers, but also dementia, the dementia diseases. It hinders oxygen and nutrient access to the brain and causes free radical damage, which is like letting a pit bull loose in a chicken coop with nothing to help. These foods that we're talking about are very high in their antioxidative potential. They tend to sweep up debris in the cells, which if it accumulates, it causes cell destruction. Impeded circulation, stiffening of the vessels, high sugar content causes what's called advanced glycation end products, AGES, sugar ages. So that's why we have the blurred vision and the cold hands and feet from excessive sugar consumption, because those little microvessels are becoming stiff and impermeable. Neurohormone function is altered, and neural degeneration occurs. Low vitamin stores are linked to decreased sense of well-being, increased feelings of fear, impaired reaction time, depression, heightened emotional irritability, increased extroversion and nervousness. And when that happens, where are we going to head, ladies? The vending machine. Poor memory. Pardon me? Yeah, increased. Did I say decreased? No, increased extroversion. That's right. Now, Ben Franklin said this. He said, a full belly makes a dull brain. And we're seeing that is true. He also said this. My refusing to eat flesh occasioned an inconvenience, and I was chided for my singularity. But with this lighter repast, I made the greater progress from quicker clearness of head and quicker comprehension. How many of you would like your mental engine to purr instead of ping? We've got to address this issue of addictions and food cravings. Recognize underlying anxiety and depression that are occurring, which may be the result of the very food that we're ingesting, which heightens those stress hormones, lowers serotonin and dopamine levels, causes tolerance just like a drug, and creates an addictive pattern. Who can break that pattern? Jesus can break that. He can put a desire in our hearts for the foods which will help us to overcome those food cravings. See, it's easy to stop doing something. 54% of Americans are on any given day are on a diet. We can all stop for a few minutes. Jackie Gleason said the best day of a diet is the second day, because by then you're fed up with it and you're off of it. And I agree with him. Dieting is the enemy of weight loss. Don't forget it, because when you go on a diet, brain serotonin plunges, dopamine plunges. These are your feel-good hormones. They go down, irritability goes up, anxiety goes up, cravings go up, and you're going to wind up at the ice cream parlor, guaranteed. So what we want you to do is be satisfied. Eat the right foods, which will promote satiety, break those food cravings, reset those long-term appetite controls, and you will think better, feel better, and be able to handle stress better. Do you like that idea? I do. Look at that gorgeous avocado. We asked them if they had one at the restaurant today, but they couldn't scrounge one up for us. We'll get some when we go home. Monounsaturated fats may improve attention and cognitive function in the elderly and lower the bad cholesterol and elevate the good cholesterol. They aid in triglyceride and hypoglycemic control, so it's going to help to start to reverse this metabolic syndrome and all this trouble. They contain antioxidants and soften arterial walls, so it's your cleanup crew is going to be very busy. It's time for an oil change. We need more of the omega-3s in the diet. They've been big in the news. By the way, trans fats can impair the ability of your body to utilize and break down the omega-3s. So just including omega-3s and hanging on to all the garbage is not going to work. Omega-3s lower triglycerides and blood pressure, may have a profound effect on depression, which I want to take a minute to talk about. When is this meeting over? 4:30? Okay. And may reduce impulsive, aggressive behavior. I want to show you something really fascinating. If I could just get a couple of men to bring this board up right here for me, I sure would appreciate it. Thank you. I want to explain. I had the privilege of going to to an oil chemist society meeting. Over here, gentlemen, where it's not in the light there. They're right there. Great. Thank you very much. I had the privilege of going to an oil chemist meeting in Montreal, Canada. There were 2,000 biochemists from all over the world that assembled. It was an amazing experience. I went there because I wanted to go to the olive oil seminar and the omega-3 seminar. And so the olive oil seminar was great. I wish I had time to tell you about it. It was dominated by Italians and Greeks. It was the most lively seminar I've ever attended in my entire life. It was so fun. And I went to the omega-3 seminar, had a chance to listen to Dr. Joseph Hibbelin. I also went to a banquet, an awards banquet. My badge said Vicki Griffin, Michigan Conference of SDAs, and people were raising their eyebrows as I was going to all these food, into all these food seminars. And there was an awards banquet for SDA. There was an SDA award banquet, and I thought, this is great. What have we done now that we're getting this worldwide recognition? So I thought I would sign up and go to this banquet. And I was really happy to be, you know, touting my badge. And I went in there and sat down for this big breakfast banquet, and it didn't have the look or feel of an SDA banquet. But I thought, well, you know, maybe they're from California or something. I don't know. And, well, I found out that SDA also stands for Suds and Detergent Association. So that's what I was attending. But we want to clean you up from the inside out. That's what this SDA wants to do. But I had a chance to go to this omega-3 seminar and listen to an amazing researcher. His name is Dr. Joseph Hibbelin. And he has studied the effects of omega-3 fatty acid at the cellular level. Now, when we talk about cells, can you all see these two circles? Our cells are made up of lipids or fats, and they're called bilipid layers. These are the phosphorus heads, and then you have these fatty acid tails. And what Dr. Hibbelin and dozens of other researchers since him have done is they analyzed these fatty acid tails, which are made up of the dietary fats, in part, of the dietary fats that you eat. What he discovered was, in blood cells and nerve cells, which are the cells that he tested, that when these fatty acid tails are high in what is called arachidonic acid. Arachidonic acid is a fatty acid that you find preformed when you eat meat and cheese and eggs and these kinds of things. You're going to find high levels of arachidonic acid. Your body makes arachidonic acid out of the omega-6 vegetable fats that you eat. And when we eat a diet high in trans fats and refined foods, your body will make large amounts of arachidonic acid. Well, he found a linear relationship with the level of arachidonic acid and clinical depression. In other words, the higher the content of arachidonic acid in the cell membranes, the higher the clinical depression. Now, conversely, when they studied these very same fatty acid tails and found higher levels of a metabolite of the omega-3 fatty acid that you would get from vegetable sources, he found lower levels of impulsivity and depression. Isn't that interesting? The Lord says he wants to write his name on every cell of our body. It is wonderful how when we follow his will, he changes us at the biochemical level. We change. We change and begin to reflect cellularly the design of our master. I think that's fantastic. Now, if we could put this away here, I'd appreciate it. Thank you very much. So these omega-3s that we're talking about that we find in these beautiful nuts, the walnuts especially, and the flax, and the soy and canola oil. I make my breads with canola oil, and we get those. The non-hydrogenated spreads are a good source. Increase immune function. Improve hormone balance, lower thrombosis or blood clotting. Now, this is Dr. Hibbelin. This is his statement. There is what kind of evidence? Substantial evidence that low levels of omega-3 fatty acid at the what? Cellular level, nerves and blood cells, both neurons and red blood cells, are associated with what kind of depression? Major depression. We want to have a phytofeast, and we're almost through here. Plant foods provide phytochemicals, vitamins, minerals, superior fats, and proteins, Antioxidants, fiber, water, fewer calories, and more satiety. If you're a total vegetarian, it is imperative that you pay attention to B12 and make sure you have a source of B12 in your diet. I suggest a sublingual under-the-tongue button once a week at least. They are blooming with benefits because plant foods promote lower dementia risk, cholesterol, blood pressure, diabetes risk, cancer risk, and degenerative diseases, but better mental function, blood sugar control, immune function, body weight, regularity, and better hydration. Low fruit and vegetable intake is linked to higher levels. Now, we've talked about this, so I'm going to zip through it. Higher levels of damage to nerve and blood tissue, blood vessels, and nerve tissue. Those are the two most common causes of cognitive decline in the elderly, not the aging process itself. This is just saying the same thing. That's the quote. So we want to go to God's smart bombs. The Department of Defense is the produce department, and his fruits and vegetables are his smart bombs. And here they are. Plan on plant power. I don't think there's any question that antioxidants have a beneficial effect on almost any degenerative human disease. This is our dear Dexter. When you see this book, you'll see him here at our booth. He is the designer of our book, responsible for all the beautiful artwork in the book. Eat a healthy breakfast. Enjoy a variety of fresh foods. Lots of color, not jelly beans. Look at that gorgeous lunch, olives and avocado there and the tomato and whole grain bread. Beautiful light supper. That's a corn chowder. It's in our book. We want to fiber up our meals. You want, in a slice of bread, you want to have at least 2 grams of fiber. Look at your labels. It can say whole grain bread and have 1 gram of fiber in a slice. They just put it full, they chalk it full of air or something. I don't know what they do. Look at these gorgeous colors here, all these fresh vegetables. We want to enjoy this. This is a burger made out of Bulgur wheat, rich in magnesium. How much, which has more vitamin C, a cooked potato, a baked potato, or a raw one? No, they're the same. The same! It's okay to eat cooked food. Here's the news. But we need more raw. Be veggie smart. Look at that. There's God's Department of Defense, right there. They even threw some asparagus on our salad today. It was incredible. I feel like I can think for the rest of the afternoon. Health is a choice. It's not a chance anymore. And the Lord knew when he put that rainbow in the sky that we needed something more. We needed something we could touch. He daily loads us with benefits. He put all those colors right in these foods for us to show us that he cares for us. Thank you. Now, I'm going to ask... Okay, great. I'm going to ask Ray to come up here, too, in a moment.
Ray, why don't you come up here with me, sir? How many of you would like to be able to have Vicki come to your church? Well, we have made it available to you. We're from the Michigan Conference. I'm Vicki's husband. And we were hired by the Michigan Conference to develop health materials so that every church could become a health evangelism center for your community. And what we have done with God's help is we're putting together a series of modules. Two are totally complete. This is the one that Vicki talked about today. It's called Foods for Thought, Nutrition's Link with Mood, Memory, Learning, and Behavior. And these comprise a beautiful four-color book. As you can see, beautiful recipes in the books. There are worksheets. You know, it's time we put Jesus back in the health message. But we want to do it in a way that we don't needlessly offend. So what we have done in the books is at the end of each chapter, we have a personal worksheet. And in this personal worksheet, the people are not only taking a personal assessment, but they begin to look up Bible verses. Now, we just did our first series of meetings here in Michigan in 107 sites all at the same time in April. We had phenomenal success. The Lord blessed.
Lay people. It was all lay-driven. It was a lay-driven effort.
Ray, what happened at your church? By the way, do any folks know this gentleman here? Brother Ray Hamlin. He runs Hamlin Hamlin Enterprises. Hamlin Company. And Ray, I want you to tell me what happened in your church.
In April, we did simple solutions.
That's our other module.
The other module. 4 nights, 2 weeks, 2 nights a week. And we had a good turnout, but it wasn't connected with evangelism. Now, what I'm excited about is starting in 2 weeks, we're doing Foods for Thought. And let me just share with you briefly what we've done. The one in April, we had a good turnout, but we didn't advertise the way we are this time. This time around, we're mailing 16,000. Have we started handing these out? Go ahead. And you'll see, each of you will receive a copy. We're mailing 16,000 of these to selected carrier routes. And I want to share with you why we're selecting carrier routes. One of the things that our church has not done very well over the past years in evangelism is reach the upper middle, upper class groups. Okay? Now, Madeline and I, my wife is up in the back here. Back in the 70s, we started in Revelation and Daniel seminars. And one of the things we noticed was we weren't reaching that group. Okay? But what we are discovering is with the health seminars coming before the evangelistic seminars, we are connecting with the very group that we haven't been able to connect with in the past. And so here's what we're doing. We're conducting our Foods for Thought seminar at Foot Hospital in Jackson, Michigan. The hospital is so excited. We have brochures all over the hospital. We have posters all over the hospital. We are mailing 16,000. We have distributed 4,000 along with posters to 18 different factories in Jackson. Okay? Our church members are distributing to friends and family members. We're anticipating a group about the size in this room, about 150 people. We have doctors and hospital administrators already telling us that they're planning to come. Now, I'm sharing this with you because on the last night, we are handing out our Hope for Today evangelistic handbill, which will start in a couple weeks after Foods for Thought. They're each person who attends will receive a personal written invitation to come to the evangelistic series. What are we doing? We're capitalizing on the modules that Dr. Vicki is describing for us. Because we are establishing trust and confidence with them in the Foods for Thought seminar, and we're going to see that transferred to the evangelistic seminars. And that's what I'm excited about. And we're seeing, let me tell you, if you go to booth 405, you can get additional information from our company on advertising pieces for both evangelism and for the health seminars. But what we are seeing now is we're seeing a new day in opening up for evangelism. So we're talking about good health practices and spiritual.
We appreciate Ray. And that what we have done for you folks is we are giving you a turnkey system. We have all your advertising handbills ready for you. We're going to give you samples of these. You can purchase these. These will cost you about 50 cents a piece. It is a video CD invitation. 12 minutes, about 11.5 minutes long, with interviews, with testimonies from people that have been to the meetings that you can pass out to people to play with on their computers. We have billboards ready for you. We have TV ads ready for you. We have radio ads ready for you. We have everything you need to do your evangelism, but there's something better. One thing that we're also providing for you is at the end of your meeting, just like Ray's doing, you have a DVD available with Vicki. The people have now established a rapport with Vicki and Evelyn, our registered dietitian, and they are inviting the people to come to the evangelistic meeting. But here's one of the ways you get them to come. Vicki and Evelyn say, you know, we had so much more information we wanted to share we didn't have time for. During these Bible prophecy meetings, we're going to be sharing each night more medical information, the latest research on new things. We have a DVD with 11 presentations, 6 to 9 minutes long, of Vicki and Evelyn sharing some of the cutting-edge research in nutrition, brain health, brain plasticity, and all these things. So we're trying to provide you with tools that you can use to make the gospel and the medical go together like a hand in a glove. Have you heard that before?
Amen.
Did Ellen White tell us to do that?
Let me just share what's in the box. You know, this is not about us. It's about the kingdom. We gain no personal profit from any of this. This belongs to God's church. The conference this belongs to the Michigan Conference. God bless them, has funded all of this. And so it's for God's church. And inside here, thank you, Dane, not only do they have the book, but also a video, which is segmented, and the book on CD, which you can listen to as you drive. And so people love to get this information. We've had one lady, non-Adventist lady, that came to our meeting, bought 7 of these for her loved ones and relatives. And then we've provided the facilitator's notebook for you, which gives you everything you need to do this in 4 programs, just 4 nights. So we're not talking about 6 months of meetings. It's 4 meetings. And we give you this. It's all scripted, plus everything you need every night from start to finish, including handouts for the people. People love to come. Does anybody know anyone that's sitting in this room? Do you know anyone that would be benefited by this information, encouraged? It's non-offensive.
What we found in Michigan, I went out to, my job is to do video. That's my job in Michigan, is prevent, I develop the video CDs, the advertising, work with Ray and his people. And what we found as we went out to churches that were doing these meetings, is ladies that did a lot of meetings in the past have said, you know, we saw 10 times more men at this meeting than we've ever seen any other meetings before. We were getting people as young as 16 and as old as 92 coming to the meetings. I went to a meeting in a very wealthy suburb of Detroit. And a physician came up to me and he said, you know, they were using the foods for the diet and stress book. He said, you know what I liked about that diet and stress book? I felt like I was in medical school. He said, all the references were there. It was reminding me what I studied in medical school. Next night I was in a poor church in the inner city of Grand Rapids. A dear mother came up to me. Her son has ADHD. She said, you know what I like best about this book? It's easy to understand. So it's reaching all socioeconomic people because health is important.
But it's reaching them for Jesus because Amen. Every worksheet, they're looking at Bible scriptures. And when they come back, you sit in little groups and go over these worksheets. So this is bringing the people to Jesus Christ.
Friends, it's time we take the kingdom back for God. What do you say? Let's use the methods that God has given us. And together, we can make an impact for the kingdom. Let's stand and have prayer together. Father in heaven, thank you so much that as a Seventh-day Adventist church, you have given us a scientifically sound health message. It's not based on hyperbole. It's not based on supplements. It's not based on anything but common sense and the Bible. Lord, thank you that we can develop these materials. Thank you that we can now begin to reach souls for your kingdom in the way that Jesus reached them. He mingled among people as one who sought their good. He satisfied their needs. He won their respect. And then he said, follow me. Lord, we pray that you would use these materials in a mighty way, that your name might be uplifted, that your name might be glorified, that we will not make healthy sinners, but healthy saints. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us the grand privilege of working with you in this cause. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to another special American Cassette Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International Copyright 2004, American Cassette Ministries, all rights reserved. For additional cassettes or CDs by this speaker, or for a free catalog of other American Cassette Ministries resources, please contact us as follows. Visit our secure website at www.americancassette.org. Our entire catalog is online, plus thousands of other selections to choose from. We accept Visa, MasterCard, and Discover credit cards. Our email address is info@americancassette.org. To order toll-free in the United States and Canada, dial 800-233-4450. For international orders, dial 717-652-7000. For fax orders, dial 717-652-9050. Or you may simply write to American Cassette Ministries, Post Office Box 922, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, 17108 in the United States of America. Maintaining the integrity of the Three Angels' messages for 29 years, American Cassette Ministries requests your continued prayers and financial support as we strive to provide you with the finest, most powerful spiritual messages available. Our one purpose in ministry? To prepare you and your loved ones to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.